What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Warriors taking on the Denver Nuggets tonight in the fight for the number one seed with 17 games left to play after tonight. So it's the fight for the one seed this evening. Andrew Bogut has his farewell press conference in Australia. Going to play that for you. And some other little pieces of news regarding the Warriors. All coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. What's good? Warriors taking on the Denver Nuggets tonight in the fight for the number one seed. For tonight, yes, it is for the one seed, but at the same time, like I said in the intro, 17 games left after tonight. So regardless of what happens, plenty of time for the Warriors to regain the one seed or build a bigger lead on the one seed than they already have right now, which is one game. The Nuggets playing well. They just beat the Lakers a couple nights ago, and I honestly thought they would have fallen off by now. Not that they'd be out of the playoff hunt or anything, but definitely didn't think they'd still be in the fight for the one seed. Like, they might have been in the two seed, but the Warriors have a big lead on them or something. But the Warriors' struggles lately have kept the Nuggets in the fight for the one seed, where, you know, if the Warriors haven't gone 3-5 in their last eight, they might have been able to wrap this thing up. But the bottom line is they have gone 3-5 and are now in a fight for the one seed with the Nuggets for the next month and a half. But things to watch for tonight regarding the game, obviously Boogie Cousins is the number one thing we're going to be looking at moving forward. I mean, until the playoffs start, probably even during the playoffs. How does he handle a guy like Jokic tonight? How do they attack him? Is it specifically with Jokic? Do they attack him in the pick and roll? We'll have to wait and see. Steph Curry hasn't been the greatest Steph Curry we've ever seen. He's still good, still doing his thing, but you know, his efficiency hasn't been as good as it used to be. I mentioned earlier that this might be the first year that he shot worse from three-point percentage post-All-Star break than he has pre-All-Star break in his career. He usually starts to shoot better post-All-Star break, but he hasn't done it this year. Klay Thompson is healthy tonight. He's going to be playing. He did mention when asked about the team's struggles that he has zero worries about this team, not a single worry in his body, he said. And so that's a positive. As we all remember, the Warriors whooped up the Nuggets last time they played at that 51-point first quarter, and they had a lot of motivation to do so because the first time they played, they ended up losing. So will the Warriors be as motivated as they were the first time they played? Will Kevin Durant be more active? In that Celtics game, there was a lot of just standing around, not just him, but with everyone. What kind of minutes is Jordan Bell going to get? A lot of things to watch for tonight as far as this team's concerned. And then just overall, are they engaged? Do they want to win? Or are they just still waiting for the road to the playoffs? I brought up DeMarcus Cousins. I want to bring him up again because one of the important things with him is, if he doesn't improve, Steve Kerr is going to have a tough decision to make in the playoffs, and it might not be that tough, but he's going to have to decide whether or not to play DeMarcus at certain points. And I think Steve Kerr is smart enough, has enough clout as a coach to sit DeMarcus if he needs to at times during the playoffs. If he's getting attacked in the pick and roll against Houston and getting destroyed, he's going to have to go to Jordan Bell or Kevon Looney. If Andrew Bogut looks good when he comes back and is defending the rim, you know, in the dominant ways that he used to, he'll have to make that decision. And so it's not just about Cousins fitting in anymore. It's about him improving as well. And we still have, like I said, 18 games, including tonight, to figure that out. But it's still a question mark is the thing. It's still a question mark. As far as Bogut's concerned, he will be back. It's not confirmed, but I would expect him to be back March 10th against the Suns. And if not, then the next game after that, he, you know, I don't know how long it takes to get here from Australia, get all your affairs in order, etc. But he'll be back, and it'll be interesting to see how much he plays, what opportunities he gets. I'm actually going to play his interview, his exit interview, or, you know, exit press conference from Australia in the next segment. And he had some interesting things to say. Actually, you know what? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break, come back. I'm going to play that interview for you, and then we'll come back after that and break some of that down. This is Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. As I mentioned, Andrew Bogut has gotten his letter of clearance from the Australian Basketball League, is now going to be signing with the Golden State Warriors with their 15th roster spot, be a backup center for the team. He had his exit press conference a couple days ago, and I wanted to play that for you. It's about 10 minutes long, but he has some interesting things to say, and then we'll come back and break some of those things down. So here is Andrew Bogut on leaving Australia to come play for the Warriors.
This is an opportunity that I just thought long and hard about, and I probably would be crazy to give up. It's a chance to win a championship on one of the greatest teams in basketball. So it ended up being kind of a pretty easy decision from that sense. But other teams weren't really a consideration. I don't think I would have gone back to play for pretty much anyone else. Golden State obviously have a special place in my heart, winning a championship there and being part of the rebuild. So that's kind of how all that came together. And you know, for me, it's just funny how life works and how the world works. And I think our ownership group and our general manager and CEO and the whole organization, obviously, for letting me be able to go out and achieve playing with the Golden State Warriors. So it's a very exciting time. Like Paul said, you know, for the NBL as well, to show that this league isn't just a cupcake league. It's a league that should be put on the world map. A lot of talent here, very, very competitive, and yeah, hopefully I can have a good 3 months in Golden State, win a championship, come back, and then get an NBL one next season.
Andrew, what kind of role do you think you will play for this team?
I spoke to Steve Kerr last week. I'm under no illusions. For me, it's an absolute honour to go and play there and play, go and sign there and not play a minute. Anything more than that is a bonus. I'm not silly. I know I'm older, and they have, you know, some very good players playing, but there's going to be situations where whether DeMarcus gets in foul trouble, whether there's a big that's a little bit stronger, you know, the Nurkic's and the Stephen Adams of the world where they need some minutes, and there's going to be games where I don't play. That's not an issue for me, and Steve kind of started the conversation with discussing my role and saying, hey, look, I'm just letting you know. I said, stop right there. Like, I'm under no illusions that anything's guaranteed for me here. I appreciate the opportunity. If it's waving a towel for 20-odd games and just being a good teammate, I'm happy to do it.
They talk about
can
you being
move forward
a great.
A bit? Sorry, can we move forward a little bit?
Thanks. Talk about you being a great locker room guy. Are you prepared to be vocal in the locker room, speaking to some of these high-profile guys? Like, you know,
I think, yeah, I think just being a positive influence and just I think being there for playing in that league for 13 years, playing all over the world. You know, they have some superstar players who have never been at that level before. But just I think from the Australian sporting landscape and what we went through in this season with the Sydney Kings, I think we value culture a lot here. I think every now and then is just putting your 2 cents in and saying, hey, you know, stay together, everything's okay. And I know they've gone through some ups and downs this season as well, which every team that's won two in a row goes through. So every now and then, but you also don't want to be at the other end where you're saying, you know, the new guy signed and you're probably too loud than you should be. So we mix.
Was the decision made easy for you, considering how good an NBL season you had, how freely you moved up and down the court, and how healthy you felt?
Yeah, definitely. The goal for me before this season started in the NBL was to play 28 games and get to the finals. Had a few little knocks early on, but once I got rolling and momentum came, I felt really good, especially towards the end of the season, which is kind of the most important thing. And that's why this all kind of played out the way it did. It was either take 3 months off, which I'd still probably have to be working out for 2 months of it because of the national team stuff in August. And then when this Golden State opportunity came up, the thinking was I'm in shape right now already, ready to go. I can stay in shape to the national team and play for one of the best teams in the world. So it kind of ticked all the boxes.
Folks, considering the way it finished for you in the NBA, do you feel like even if you don't play, there is maybe a little bit of unfinished business for you?
Not really. Like I said, this is just a blessing and a bonus for me at the moment. Life, like I said, funny things happen. Actually, yesterday was the anniversary of me breaking my leg in Cleveland. So wow. My agent was nice enough to mention that to me. But just funny how life works. And yesterday was the day we basically had the contract signed, late last night. So it's just, that's how things go in professional sport. And you can't have ill feeling about looking backwards. And I'd like to get out there and get to a playoff series and a final series and contribute by all means as much as I can. And whether that's setting one good screen and getting the substrate out, or whether it's scoring a few points and grabbing some boards. But I'm pumped, and I think it's a, like I said, I can't stress enough how much of a great opportunity it is for the NBL and the Sydney Kings. And I saw yesterday the Sports Centre led with the story about the NBL and the Sydney Kings and myself, and that's another reason why I came back here, is to try and help the game, and I think it's working out well for everybody.
You spoken to any of the Warriors on the phone?
Just Steve Kerr at the moment. I'll get to the group chats in the next couple of days, I anticipate, and all that fun stuff will start. But yeah, I'll probably just leave it to once we get there. Got to rekindle my relationship with Marcus Cousins, because we used to really go at it when he was in SAC. A lot of near scuffles and holds and throws and flagrant fouls. So I'm looking forward to having him on the same team this time.
Could be feisty training.
Maybe at this point of the season, I hope they're not going live too much at practice.
Yeah.
It must have been heartening. Each night you hear Steph have a comment, Clay, like Draymond overnight, just knowing how highly they think of you and want you over there.
Yeah, it is. And those guys are very special to me. Obviously, being part of, when you're part of a group, however long ago it was or whoever it is that won a championship, you'll always remember those guys. And I think they've followed what I've been doing over here to an extent, which helps. But those compliments obviously make you feel good. Just getting the call, obviously, from Golden State back, December, January, kind of made me feel pretty good. To be honest with you, back then, they see what I'm doing over here, and to have that interest still in a situation where I thought that door was probably shut for me in my career. And obviously came back here predominantly for family reasons. My wife was going through a tough pregnancy at the time, so it made sense to stay here too. But to have the opportunity to go back, I think, is sensational.
Andrew, how much did you think about the risk of serious injury again when making this decision? Does it linger at all?
No, I don't think about that at all. I mean, it's you can walk out the door here and get hit by a car. Freak things happen. It's a part of everyday life for most people and part of professional sport. And I've been unlucky. Those few breaks were just... The one of the finals when I was with Golden State, I get cannonballed by J.R. Smith and do my knee. Was out for 6 weeks, and then obviously snapped my leg in the first minute on the court in Cleveland, which doesn't help. But take those two things away, I haven't really had an injury history where it was something lingering or a hammy or a bung knee or something like that. It's always been impact stuff for me, so I don't anticipate getting hurt, obviously, and just go out there and playing hard. And I think I'm in a great mindset, both physically and mentally, to go out there and contribute and see how we go.
You see, Dwayne Wade and Nowitzki having their farewell party. There's a little bit of a bogey party going on now, because no one would expect to be seeing you. So even the opposition will be happy to see you. Will you be trading jerseys with guys and really lapping it up?
Nah, it's not me. I'll leave that to the stars, the superstars. I'm not at that level. But like I said, I've got a lot of friends in the league that have actually texted me the last week as soon as rumours broke. That are on other teams now, and even assistant coaches, a few scout personnel, just the relationships you make over a 30-year career, and had a lot of support for it. And people were pumped that I'm just coming back and let's catch up when our team's in town and blah blah blah. So it's pretty cool to get all that, and I'm looking forward to it.
Andrew, what have you made of the Warriors this season, looking from afar, and also the rest of the competitive NBA set this year?
Obviously, the Warriors, winning two championships in a row, there is that bit of the hangover where at times I wouldn't say you get bored, but it becomes a grind. It's the tail end of the season. They've stayed relatively healthy. They've got DeMarcus back, obviously, from an Achilles injury. They've tried to shore up their bench, which is why I'm going out there, but still the team to beat. It's like the Melbourne United of the NBL. Until you beat the champions from the previous year, you can't really knock them, but... As far as the NBA season goes, it's been interesting. Boston's went through a similar thing. There's been a bunch of teams that have had a roller coaster ride, and I think Golden State obviously have had some ups and downs. And I don't think it's the worst thing in the world. I think if it was cruise control all the way to the playoffs for Golden State, I don't think that's a good thing. I think a bit of adversity isn't the worst thing in the world, especially before a playoff series.
What are the chances, mate, of someone following the lead that you're setting here? You know, sort of 30-something NBA player coming to Australia and then picking up where they left off with a playoff-bound NBA team, do you think?
I reckon I'm the only one and just I'm a pioneer and never happens again. It could happen. I mean, I know a lot of guys go to China for similar reasons because China finishes in February and they can then latch on to a playoff team. But let's hope it happens. I mean, it's like I said, this league isn't just a cupcake league that people are just here for a holiday. It's very, very competitive, very tough league. Obviously, the organisation and the structure of not only the NBL but the Sydney Kings is going upwards. So I think it's going to be a destination that even if they don't go back to the NBA, well, we'll get NBA quality talent down the track. And that's just sensational to see how far the NBL has come the last 4 or 5 years.
Was there any concern on the Warriors front that when you fly over there, that Dame Pinot will actually arrive?
We actually just had that discussion. Paul Smith and I just had that discussion. We're actually going to wheel him out today.
Oh, yeah.
Put him in front of the microphones.
That'd be sweet.
But, yeah, no, it's...
You could have put him in your Warriors outfit.
Definitely, or just have him get off the plane. But yeah, no, definitely an interesting time and got some good pub and hopefully Larry's forgiven me. It's been a couple of weeks now, so yeah. I think he probably's forgiven me by now.
I think so.
Given the nature of your exit from the Warriors, just the way it happened and the nature of it, how much was, you know, trying to rephrase my question. How comfortable were you going back to that organisation given the way you exited? You know, what is it about the organisation that made you feel comfortable going back there?
Still a lot of people I'm very fond of there. Obviously, I think Steve Kerr's a sensational, not only coach, but person, and the way he manages the day-to-day and manages personalities. I understood it was a business. You got a chance to sign Kevin Durant, and I'm the odd man out because I was making $12 million that next season there to free up some cap space. I mean... I would do that to myself if I was the GM, you know. So I'm not under any illusions that, you know, I'm as good as KD. I'd make that move if I was the GM. So it's no hard feelings. Obviously, they sent me to a place that I kind of agreed that I wanted to go in Dallas. That didn't work out, but that's why it was a no-brainer for me. I mean, these things happen, and there's no point. You know, obviously, I was disappointed. It got ramped up a little bit in the media that I was really bitter and hated everyone there. It was never the case. I kept in touch with a lot of guys there, Draymond, Steph, Clay, throughout leaving there, and now that I had the opportunity to go back, I think it's, you know, it's a very cool story. Just looking from afar, like I said, even if I don't play a minute, I think it's just really cool to go somewhere where I'm valued number one, not only as a basketball player, but basketball IQ and as a person, and hopefully add another ring to the collection.
Well, good luck.
Thank you. Thanks.
Thanks.
So there's Bogut on leaving Australia, coming to play for the Warriors. I like some of the things he said. He, you know, thought some of the hard feelings were blown out of proportion by the media after getting Kevin Durant. He also said he knows Kevin Durant is a lot better than him and he would have made the same move himself. And he also said he's happy to be, you know, the best towel waver in the world for the Warriors. So he's not coming in with many expectations. Him and Steve Kerr have talked about it. Steve Kerr has mentioned it, that he there's no real expectations as far as minutes and things like that. So it was a nice press conference. Bogut looks good, looks slender, in great shape. So I'm intrigued. I mean, it's probably more likely that he's not a big contributor, but I wouldn't be surprised if he also shows some of that defensive prowess that he, you know, was famous for with the Warriors, because they haven't had any rim protection since he left. So if he can bring some of that back, I mean, that's going to be useful. That's going to be playable. So we'll have to wait and see. Going to take one more break, come back, give you League Pass picks for tonight, and then wrap this thing up. This is Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. Charles T. Hamilton, what's good? Just about to wrap this thing up for the night. We'll probably have another episode for you tomorrow on Saturday. To go over the Warriors-Nuggets game, unless, you know, it's a repeat of the Warriors-Celtics game. But maybe I will just come on and complain if that happens. It's therapeutic for me to do so. 9 games tonight, league pass picks as far as I'm concerned. Warriors-Nuggets, obviously that's the biggest one. It's the 1 and 2 seed in the Western Conference. Sixers-Rockets is pretty big. I know... Warriors fans will hate to hear this, but that could be a potential finals matchup. And then Thunder Clippers as well. Thunder did beat the Blazers last night in overtime, chippy game, played well. But on second night of back-to-back against a team like the Clippers, it'll be interesting. Thunder are only about 3.5 games ahead of the Clippers also, so it's not a huge difference between quality of teams either. A lot of good games tonight, but those are the three. Sixers-Rockets, Warriors-Nuggets, and Clippers-Thunder. Hope you all enjoy it. I will be back soon with another episode of Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You can't climb a mountain if it's smooth, right? You got to go over the rough spots. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.